let's talk about is recorded and produced in Treaty 1 territories, on the original lands of the Anishinaabe, Cree, Oji-Cree, Dakota, and Dene peoples, and on the homeland of the Métis Nation. Thank you very much for listening. Hello and welcome back to Let's Talk About for the Tech Talk series. And we're finally going to get to the episode that I planned, I think, for 2 weeks ago now. And it's one that is really, it's really important to me. And you'll see in just a second, but it's becoming increasingly important to our modern world. And I want to start off with just a statement that it's a thing that I've believed for a very long time, and it's something that you when you think about it, you realize, oh, that's true, but we're conditioned to not see it as true. And that is, corrective lenses, glasses or contact lenses, are a disability aid that we have been conditioned by society to not see as a disability aid. Why is that? Because the rate of, or the proportions of people requiring corrective lenses has increased exponentially as years have worn on. Just for quick reference, I need corrective lenses. And they're a disability aid because without them, I would not be able to function. I would not be able to do my job. I am legally not allowed to drive. It's actually on my driver's license that I am not legally allowed to drive if I do not have corrective lenses on. And I need to pay hundreds of dollars. In some cases, this year, it was thousands of dollars because I had my eye exam. I got a new pair of glasses. I got another set of contact, another... got my prescription for my contacts refilled. It's quite a lot of money just to have the basic human function of sight. If I don't have my contacts or my glasses, I can't drive. I can move around my apartment, but that's because I know the layout of the space. But I can't see anything further than a few inches from my face. Beyond a couple inches, everything's just a blur. And I'm going off of instinct. You know, I just took my glasses off, and I can see the mic in front of my face, but nothing else. But why am I bringing this up? Well, this episode of Tech Talk, I want to talk about bionic or cybernetic eye prosthesis. And this is something that, you know, it's something straight out of sci-fi. And again, like the bionic arms and the hero arms that I talked about a couple weeks ago, these are a thing that already exists in the modern day. It's something called Argus. It's current technology is the Argus 2. But before we start talking about what the Argus technology is, we need to talk quickly about how our eyes actually work. Now, if you, like me, did not pay attention in elementary school science, the only reason I know this is because I have really crappy eyes and I need to know how eyes kind of work, because mine don't work. But this is how your eyes typically function. So this is pulled off an article. A healthy eye takes in light through the pupil, and a lens focuses that light onto the back of the eye, where there is a thick layer of light-sensitive tissue called the retina. Cells called photoreceptors turn the light into electrical signals, which travel down the optic nerve to the brain, which then interprets the image. A fun fact for you is the image that is reflected on your retina is actually upside down. So you have the lens being the front of your eye, and the one thing that changes, and it's part of the reason why I can't see, is because that lens does not function correctly. The lens of my eye is not the right shape. So I need to put lenses in front of the lenses of my eyes that before the light even hits my eye, already bend the light in a way where it goes through the lens of my eye properly, and contacts my retina. So this really feels, if you look through that again, it's a very simple system. You know, the one thing that changes is that your pupil will dilate and shrink. It will dilate and contract based on the amount of light in a room. If there's high light, if there's a large amount of light, the pupil will constrict, so it's very small, to allow less light in, because our sight, we actually don't see the things in front of us. We see the light reflected off the things in front of us, which is a trippy thing to think about. You're not actually seeing the objects in front of you. You're just seeing the light that's reflected off of them towards your eye. And in low light conditions, your pupil expands to let in more light, so you can see a little bit better in the dark. But it's a very mechanical process. Light enters the eye, contacts the retina, which has photoreceptors, which convert that signal, convert light into an electrical impulse that travels up the optic nerve to your brain, and then that tells your brain what to consciously produce, what that image actually is. So you can tell the colors and shapes and distances, things like that. So it's relatively, and I say relatively because this is actually very complicated biology and engineering, but the solution to solving this problem, with people with impaired vision like myself, the solution is fairly simple. Like I said, I either have a lens that is directly placed on my eye with my contacts, or with my glasses, it is a piece of glass that sits in front of my eyes, which refract the light, the signal, the light that comes off of an object and contacts my eye is refracted through a piece of glass, so it fits within that range where I'm able to see it. If I don't, the wavelength or the refracted light doesn't come through with clarity. It's fuzzy. It doesn't come in at the right angle, so the signal gets muddled when it contacts my retina. For people who were born blind or lost their vision completely or have severely impaired vision, the solution's a little bit more difficult, and that's where something called ARGUS comes in. So ARGUS has three components to it. It has glasses, a small camera, and a series of implanted electrodes on the retina. So with ARGUS, you have electrodes implanted on your retina, which imitate based off of what the camera sees. So you put your glasses on, put glasses on over your eyes. Usually they're shaded, like completely black, so people don't see what your eyes see, your actual eyes. But the camera that is on the glasses records, takes the picture of the video camera, and then travels to the through an implant on the side of your head into the electrodes that are in the back of your eye and replicate with, you know, varying degrees of clarity, the electrical signals that your retina typically would get, or the signals that a healthy eye would take to and that then that electrical signal, like with a healthy eye, travels down the optic nerve and goes into the brain. So it's very simple. The implants take pictures with a video camera and transform the images into a representation of what the camera sees with very high contrast. So this is from an article on Envision about Argus. So the camera's on the eyeglasses. The electrodes are implanted into the retina at the back of the eye. When a person looks at something, it is converted into signals. These are wirelessly transmitted to the implant in the retina. The retinal cells are stimulated by the electrodes. This results in incoming information being sent to the optic nerve. From here, the brain processes this information. The Argus system lets people tell the difference between shapes, movement, and light. However, it does not allow people to see in the same way that healthy eyes function. Researchers believe that this is due to only 60 electrodes being part of the device. Some people who received the implant were able to cross streets without assistance and read books with large print. However, they could not accurately perceive colors. But in 2021, advancements in computer modeling enabled improvements in the Argus II retinal prosthesis system. Essentially, researchers at USC developed signals that could enable better clarity and color vision for those using the Argus II. This could open up a whole new world for those who need eye implants, making them more functional than ever before. Still, approximately 1 million electrodes would be necessary for natural sight. The developer of this implant is working on one that will have 240 electrodes and peripheral electrodes to improve the size of a person's visual field. So right now with the Argus, you're only able to see not just what the camera sees, but a shrunken version of that and a high contrast version of that. Because you only have those 60 electrodes, 30 per eye, you're only able to see a very small, like a pinprick amount of what a healthy eye would be able to see. As it says here in the article, you need approximately 1 million electrodes to mimic natural sight. But this is an incredible step forward using computer modeling technology in order to enhance the effectiveness to get more out of the few electrodes that you have by basically doing what our eyes and what our brain technically does. Our brain has a great ability. You know, when your eyes, when you look, when you move your head, you turn your eyes actually flick between two spots. And you technically go blind for a second as your eyes adjust to the new angle. And your brain just fills in the gap of what was there. Like motion blur is just your brain filling in the gap of the movement as something moves, because it can't get the information from the reflected light fast enough to actually have, you know, frame by frame of the human eye, an exact replication of what it saw. So using computer modeling technology to take that over and be able to not just fill in the gaps of motion or fill in the gaps of changes in view angles or focus points, it's filling in the gaps of the periphery and actually showing a little bit more of what's there based on what it already sees. And this is something absolutely amazing, and it's going to allow people, or it does allow, because some people do actually have this technology, it's an important building block in moving us toward a place where eye technology or eye prosthetic technology is much more ubiquitous. Because right now, it's kind of a cumbersome system. Most vision technology is a cumbersome system. I'm saying that as somebody who currently has a set of glasses on their face or has to touch his eye every morning to put lenses over top of the non-functional lenses that I do have. But right now with the Argus technology, it requires you to wear glasses and have surgically implanted electrodes and a surgically implanted receiver in your head to receive that signal. Hopefully in the future, possibly this technology would, with nanotechnology and you know, the exponential increase in computing power, we could potentially one day, like the bionic, like the Hero arm does for hand and arm prosthesis, be able to have fully prosthetic eyes. So you surgically remove the eyes and you connect a prosthetic eye directly to the optic nerve. That it'd be a very careful procedure and probably need a lot of computational power and to assist in that, because right now AI is starting to help surgeons, which is a really cool technology I want to talk about. But it would require a very intense, very nuanced, and a very complicated surgery in order to connect this prosthesis to the optic nerve, but in a way have more control over where the electrodes are, how many there are, the computational power of the eyes, that would be able to just function the way a normal eye functions in that spot as kind of a proxy for the eyes, not just a camera that sits on the side of your glasses or the middle of your glasses. So this technology is very, very important. However, there's one thing that I need to bring up, and this is an article, where is it from? It's from I3E's Spectrum. And it's an article by Elisa Strickland and Mark Harris from this year, 2022, about kind of the downfalls of this type of technology. And this comes back to, this is happening in America, so a large portion of this is because of the way that the American healthcare system is set up. But in Canada, we're not that much better. My vision care, I get, you know, like most of you listening, you get a vision test, you get your examination as part of your kind of provincial health insurance, but I have to pay for my glasses and my contacts out of pocket. If I didn't have the insurance that I have through my work, I would have to pay more out of pocket. But if I didn't have the income that I have, I would have to pay a significant amount of money. I still do pay a significant amount of money for the ability to see and function. And that's like a horrible thing. I cannot function without my glasses. And to think that I could potentially be without this sight would severely impact my life in an incredibly demonstrable way. I wouldn't be able to read anything. I wouldn't be able to, you know, cross the street safely. I wouldn't be able to cook safely. I wouldn't be able to move around my house safely. I clearly wouldn't be able to drive because legally required to have corrective lenses if I'm driving. But my life would be significantly impacted if I couldn't afford my corrective lenses. But as we move to a world, and I was actually having a conversation about the neoliberalization of Canadian politics, this is a potential future, and this is something that cyberpunk writers have talked about for decades. But this shows when you're putting important technology that impacts people's ability to live their lives in the hands of corporate for-profit entities, corporations, so that they get to decide what the cost of things are and get to, and really you're putting your hand, or you're putting stock, or you're putting your faith in capitalism and an economy and a capitalist enterprise to stay afloat. And we know with medical technology companies, a lot of the times, tech startups, medical companies, they go under because it's a large cost to continue to run these things. So you have to keep increasing costs, and people are required to pay these costs, and eventually they can't anymore because they're so specialized, they're so complicated, they get so expensive. So I'm going to read directly from the article. Their bionic eyes are now obsolete and unsupported. second sight left users of its retinal implants in the dark. Barbara Campbell was walking through a New York City subway station during rush hour when her world abruptly went dark. For 4 years, Campbell had been using a high-tech implant in her left eye that gave her a crude kind of bionic vision, partially compensating for the genetic disease that had rendered her completely blind in her 30s. I remember exactly where I was. I was switching from the 6 train to the F train, Campbell tells IEEE Spectrum. I was about to go down the stairs, and all of a sudden, I heard a little beep, beep, beep sound. It wasn't her phone battery running out. It was her Argus II retinal implant system powering down. The patches of light and dark that had been able she'd been able to see with the implant's help vanished. Terry Byland is the only person to have received this kind of implant in both eyes. He is the first got the first generation Argus I implant made by the company Second Sight Medical Products in his right eye in 2004 and the subsequent Argus II implant in his left 11 years later. He helped the company test the technology, spoke to the press movingly about his experiences, and even met Stevie Wonder at a conference. Quote, I went from being just a person that was doing the testing to being a spokesman, he remembers. Yet in 2020, Byland had to find out secondhand that the company had abandoned the technology and was on the verge of going bankrupt. While his two implant system is still working, he doesn't know how long that will be the case. As long as nothing goes wrong, I'm fine, he says. But if something goes wrong with it, well, I'm screwed, because there's no way of getting it fixed. Ross Duer, another Second Sight patient, doesn't mince words. It is fantastic technology and a lousy company, he says. He received an implant in one eye in 2019 and remembers seeing the shining lights of Christmas trees that holiday season. He was thrilled to learn in early 2020 that he was eligible for software upgrades that would further improve his vision. Yet in the early months of the COVID-19 pandemic, he heard troubling rumors about the company and called his Second Sight vision rehab therapist. Quote, she said, Well, funny you should call, we all just got laid off, he remembers. She said, by the way, you're not getting your upgrades. These three patients and more than 350 other blind people around the world with Second Sight's implants in their eyes find themselves in a world in which the technology that transformed their lives is just another obsolete gadget. One technical hiccup, one broken wire, and they lose their artificial vision, possibly forever. To add injury to insult, a defunct Argus system in the eye could cause medical complications or interfere with procedures such as MRI scans, and it could be painful or expensive to remove. Because remember, these are implants that are directly in the eye. If you've ever had an MRI, you know, that's a super magnet that's zipping around your head. So you have to remove all of the metal, all your piercings and all of those things. So you can't have braces when you do it. You can't have a metal plate in your skull when you do it. You very clearly can't have metal, tiny metal electrodes that are sitting on the back of your eye, or else they'll get ripped through your eye. You know, just permanently damaging your eyes and almost killing you. So this is where we're at, and I'll include the rest of the article in the show notes. But when these companies go under, they take all of their knowledge with them and their specialized knowledge. Only people from Second Sight know how to work with the Argus technology, how to repair things, what to fix, have the patents, have the firmware updates that you require. And that's what leaves us in a precarious position, because you're putting something so basic and necessary to healthy human functioning like vision in the hands of a corporation that can control through cost or through licensing or through the various firmwares that they put into the technology, how you see things. And if those companies go under, you lose all of the support you had and lose the vision you had received. So this is where we're going to dip a little bit into opinion territory. Having something like this, something like a disability aid, such as these, like Argus, having something like the Open Bionics Hero Arms. While I'm a huge fan of Open Bionics, I do see that there is potentially a danger down the road, around the next bend, if these companies become obsolete. Obviously, the Hero Arm is slightly different because you can actually, it just sits on the body. It's not in the body like Argus and Argus 2. But this is where we need a scheme of government support. Having this technology being a part of our provincial or even federal healthcare scheme. Here in Canada, it's provincial. So if it was required that the province of Manitoba, speaking as a Manitoban, have facilities and access and knowledge within physicians to be able to work with Argus technology or a similar technology, that would be a lot safer because your government doesn't just go under when there's a stock market crash or a global pandemic, like what's happened with Second Sight. So these people, if Argus goes under, or not Argus, if Second Sight goes under, and Second Sight, thankfully, as of recording, is still around. It's still being publicly traded on the stock market, even though today, I'm recording this Monday the 13th, the stock market just took a bit of a dip. It still exists. So there is support. However, as was mentioned in the article, some of the contacts and some of the support system, the therapists that people had that worked for Second Sight were laid off. So they have fewer resources to go around. That's 350 people who have lost some of their support and have lost what was promised to them because it's a for-profit entity that, you know, needs to make money, so they can't just give these things out for free. But that's a concerning prospect because this is amazing technology that can help people live their lives more effectively, and it's a stepping stone towards kind of the technology of the future, the amazing technology that we see in science fiction. I was just playing Cyberpunk 2077 last night, and the number of people that have cybernetic eyes in that game is insane. It's an extreme amount, but this is amazing, important technology. And the fact that something so basic like human sight can just be lost because a company goes belly up and there's nobody to swoop in and rescue these people, because this is the only company that deals with Argus and Argus 2, they're basically pushed to the side. And that's not even to talk about, you know, the issues of planned obsolescence and inequality of access, because these people, because most of them are in the U.S., they're going to be paying out of pocket. And even in Canada, you'd be paying out of pocket for a lot of things like this, because this is experimental. And it's not something that is necessarily part of provincial health insurance. It's a concerning prospect that it's out there like that. So in a way, this is a cautionary tale or a horror story that's coming out of an amazing technology. We need to ensure that if we're going to put technology like this out there, if we're going to build towards this future, we do it in a way where we can ensure that people aren't left out in the rain when it starts to fall. All right, and I've got about 30 seconds left, so I want to say thank you very, very much for listening. This has been Let's Talk About. I've been Jason. You've been the audience. If you're listening live on 101.5 UM FM, keep that dial on 101.5. You've got some great songs and great shows coming up right after this one. And if you're listening on Spotify, thank you very, very much for your download. Like, subscribe, share, do all those amazing things. Catch me this Thursday on the hockey show with Teebs, because I am now the recurring co-host on that show. But as always, thank you very, very much for listening, and have yourselves a wonderful, wonderful week. Stay safe, everybody.